Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Tracks there.
So, look, welcome to episode 261. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is Red.
And this is the Who Goes There podcast. Good! Hey, so we should get to our autism test.
Oh, yeah.
You want to go right out? You want to start off with the autism? Damn, you're coming out with a bang. Go for it.
Yeah. Rhett, why don't you explain what this is?
Okay, so it occurred to me. It's 2020, so I, Googled.
The year of our Lord.
In the year of our Lord 2020, the D Googled autism test, and I looked around and I looked at the different tests, and I noticed they were very similar, and I found one that I thought had some good questions.
It's pretty autistic of you just to look for different autism tests.
Of course it is. That's right. So, and then it occurred to me, I might as well share this test, why not share this test? Some people are familiar with a Myers-Briggs personality test. You don't want that. You don't want that. You want the autism test. So
you need to know how autistic you are.
Right. That would be the first thing to know.
Appreciate A24 movies.
Right. So
is that the meter for appreciating A24?
You can appreciate A24 movies. Wow.
Okay. We'll see what you scored then, Matt.
You mean Green Room, Matt? Because
wait. Let's let the results speak for themselves. All right.
Oh. Okay. So who's gonna go first?
You should go first because I feel like your score is obvious.
Yeah, and you've been chomping at the bit to tell us how actually autistic you are.
Dude, I didn't even tell you. You know how hard that was for me? No, you go first, Jorge. You gotta go first.
No, because first. I feel like mine's gonna be I think mine's gonna be the most surprising. I think.
Okay. Well, you said you told me that you were astonishingly low on your score being how autistic you thought you were. And I told you via text, I want to tell you on here. You wish you were fucking autistic, dude. Okay? I scored a 34.
Okay.
So I am fucking certified Asperger's fucking that show house with the fucking doctor who
it's not lupus.
Dick.
It's never lupus.
No, but he's a genius. You're just fucking autistic, dude.
Hey, wait. You don't know. I'm a genius. I scored a 34, and I believe it was 27 to 29 or 26 to 29 was likely. And then 34 and up was you're on the low. 34 is the low end.
No, that is definitely not true because I am a 27 and 29.
What the fuck?
And 29 is the cutoff. I was like, all right, well, I'm not autistic.
Guys,
but okay. So the stuff about social anxiety and the fascination with numbers and dates, that got me and I felt personally attacked.
Okay,
just because I have a thing for dates doesn't.
The one with categories got me.
Okay,
categories.
Okay. Here's the thing. I may have been psyching myself out into picking non-autistic answers because, dude,
that's the most autistic thing of all.
I got an 8.
Oh yeah.
That's bullshit. No, you know what it is, and I knew it's fucking true. You're a normie. You're fucking. They call it neurotypical. You're neurotypical, Jorge. I'm sorry.
I though, dude? Just because I'm not autistic doesn't mean I'm neurotypical.
Yep, it does. You're not bipolar.
Exactly what it means.
You're not bipolar. You weren't raped. You weren't molested. You got nothing going
That's
on.
That's not
man.
True. How do you know any of that stuff?
Because you're not just talk about it. Then open up about it. I need to know.
It's everything.
Let's talk about that.
Well, deepest, darkest secrets right now.
Look, dude, what I'm doing is I'm normalizing this so that everyone's okay being it now. See, so do you see?
But it is normal though.
Oh, nah, dude, nah. Even as far
I think you're trying to normalize it is demonizing even more.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Don't say that.
Yeah.
Then
that, gotcha.
Then you'll get fucks. You'll get fucks sending us messages with all this fucking virtue signaling and all this crazy shit. And I, yeah,
we already do.
I'm already on the fucking spectrum. So there you go. So if an autistic person can't talk about autism, then what does the world come to? You know.
But here's the thing, dude. If that scale is to be believed, Matt is almost as autistic as you, and I find that.
Whoa. There's a big 29 to 34. Those points begin to fucking really matter, dude.
Yeah, and what's even more shocking is that George got an 8.
Let me defend. Yeah, well, see, that's because he was definitely psyching himself out. He was answering it like, oh, I'm not like this, you know, like, you know, so whatever, dude. Like,
see, that's the thing. And here's the thing. I took it twice just to see, like, hey, see,
hella autistic.
I was like, am I doing a bit to myself?
There was a dude, Cumungus, on Discord who said, shows what this fucking test knows. I took it and got a 20, and I'm actually diagnosed as autistic. So
maybe so obviously is this is not autistic, and you're not autistic at all.
Oh, that's, fuck.
That's possible.
Maybe it's reverse, brother. Maybe you're really fucked.
You're saying Matt? I'm neurotypical? Me?
Yeah, maybe you're the one that's
you're
that's,
the one.
Well, that would be cool. I mean, you know, it's like, did you ever see the Sneetches, the Dr. Seuss? Are you familiar with that story?
Yeah, the Starbelly Sneetches.
Yeah, so like if you have the star in your belly.
Like coronavirus, like all the people who got it and all the people who didn't.
That's right. It's identity politics.
So what we've now realized is the test is bullshit and doesn't mean anything.
Yep. Whoa. It's but not it to be taken as a fucking diagnosis. It is. It was interesting.
It clearly says that on the website, not to be taken as a diagnosis. George, can't you read?
Well, I'm the one that said that.
Did you?
Yeah, did you really? I literally just said that, you fuck.
Oh boy. Some of those questions I felt absolutely personally attacked by, though. Yep. Like the category one, or you have like a field of interest that if you can't pursue it, you get upset. Like, yeah. And like people, you think you were impolite when you thought you were polite. And like, yep.
those things are just fucking human traits, though. Like,
not when you correlate them in clusters. That's the thing, though, George. When you correlate them in clusters, that's when you start getting
who doesn't second guess themselves after every single conversation that they've ever had in their life.
Oh my God. Whoa. A lot of people don't. You know that.
No?
I'm very self-assured.
I think Matt might be serious right now too. I think you seem kind of self-assured, Matt, honestly.
Yeah. I also don't give a shit what people think.
Yeah, Jorge, you and me are both a little neurotic about that.
I do the thing where like if we have a conversation for a week,
yeah.
I will worry about everything that I said.
Like, one of those is because you're predominantly introverted, not completely, but you're an interior dude. That so if you go hard enough interior long enough, you're going to be autistic and start drooling and shit.
If you go hard enough interior long enough, you're going to have your uterus.
Well, anywho, that's the who goes there autism.
He goes there podcast.
That's an autist little song.
God damn it. Right, why did I bring that back?
Thank you. I forgot, dude. The pandemic had cleared my mind of all Hugo's and podcast.
He hasn't been driving, that's why.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So he's not just yelling random things into his phone at us.
Yeah, most of his screaming is done on top of
Sophia.
On the move. Hi, Sophia. Right. Oh wait, she can hear it. Both times now. Good. Yeah. All right, fellas, how's it going? How we doing?
Like she doesn't know.
That's how's it going?
Hanging out, man.
Pretty. It's good. Going good, dude.
Good, dude.
Thank you.
You know,
I finally got to see one of my homies yesterday, so that was tight.
Yeah. Mm. Which homie did you see? Some unknown, unnamed fuckhead.
Just some fucking dork. But you know, it was tight. It was good for the old mental health.
Nice.
That's pretty much all I've been doing, man. I've been taking a bunch of days off work. You know, it's been pretty good for the old mental health.
I've not worked for the last week. That's pretty good.
I bet, man. Like, it's fucking world is full of fuck, and I don't like it. But, you know, keep on keeping on, brother. You know,
it's all you watch.
Life's a garden. Dig it. I did. I'm not really supposed to talk about it because it's not out yet. And there's an embargo on reviews, which is totally dumb to me. You know, that just says like, hey, you know, we as a production company don't have enough faith in this movie. So please keep your shit talking to a minimum or none at all until the movie comes out.
Are you talking about Cronenberg Jr.'s little movie?
No, I saw a movie called Becky, starring
Becky,
starring Kevin James.
Oh, and, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah
go on.
Starring Kevin James as a skinhead killer.
No, thanks.
You know,
so like, it's like the Fanatic 2020.
I mean, no. This is way better.
What?
I wouldn't say way better. So I will say that I did enjoy it. I didn't love it. I did enjoy it. I actually quite enjoyed Kevin James as a bad guy, and I didn't think I would.
He's the bad guy.
Duh. That's really good. You know, I was really into that.
All right, cool. Anything else?
And then I watched another movie that was not horror, but it was pretty good. It was called Standoff at Sparrow Creek, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the movie starts with a a mass shooting at a police funeral. And it comes out that it's like a member of a local militia. And so it follows the militia as they try and figure out which one of them did this and, you know, deal with the situation. It's pretty good. Pretty That's good. It had good. Little bits of element of the thing, you know, with it's like who done it and who can you trust kind of vibe. I definitely recommend checking it out. I believe it's on Prime.
Can you really trust anybody?
That's right, dude. That's right. That's what I would say.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't even trust myself, dude.
Yeah. Nor should you, dude.
I cut myself into pieces.
Oh fuck!
But yeah, that's I finished Money Heist. At least I thought I finished Money Heist, but there's gonna be another season, which is hella tight because it's still fucking really, really, really good.
I said it before. Right. I'll say it again. Money Train with Wesley Snipes and that dude from Cheers in the mid-90s.
You know, Woody
Harrelson?
Yes. Yeah.
That guy from Cheers.
I could. Yes. Yes.
Dude, you're always trying to ice it uphill, dude.
Oh, go. What are you saying? What?
Can you burn?
Can you quack?
Is that what he fucking... Can you quack? I showed Sophia that video.
What did you think of that?
And I showed her too. We were laying down to go to bed. And I was like, babe, sweetheart, check this out.
Babe.
Can you quack like a duck when you suck? It's great. And she didn't...
sit on my dick when you fuck?
She had a very, like, almost the same response. The first time I showed her The Room, the first time I showed her Filthy Frank with the fucking ravioli... And the first time I showed her this video, it was the same response.
Have you shown her the Filthy Frank thing? Well, it's not Filthy Frank, but it's Max Mofo, the hair cake one.
Nah.
Holy fuck, dude.
I'm a big fan of that ravioli one, dude. I like
dude,
that one.
The have you seen Hair Cake?
I don't think I have. Fuck, I've seen a lot man. Of them. But,
dude, yeah. Hair Cake is the one. Hair Cake broke me.
I like the Life Hacks one. I like the How to Answer the Phone ones. I like the Weeaboo ones. I like the Born in the Wrong Generation video. Did you see that Born in the Wrong Generation video George?
Oh, I'm really bummed out that he's not making content as Filthy Frank, but, you know, good for him.
But now he's JoJo, bro.
He's Joji, homie.
He's JoJo. He's JoJo. Jojo. Yeah. Yeah, he's
Wait,
JoJo.
You mean Juji, the fucking weightlifter dude?
Yeah. Yeah, he's Junji Ito, the artist.
That's right.
Juji.
Yeah, Juji. Yes, that. Hey, Rhett.
What?
Did you watch anything?
I got to get this one out of the way first. Short Circuit 2, okay?
Because
I watched Short Circuit a little while ago, and Short Circuit 2 is fucking masterful. I mean, whew, You probably have never heard those words put together in the same sentence, but
I'm Jesus pretty sure Christ. I said those exact words.
Okay. I don't know masterful, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I've watched both recently back, like very next to each other. And the general consensus
instead of
is
saying back to back, like very next to each other.
See, that's why I scored a 34 right there.
George,
see?
You forgot he's a genius.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm also eccentric, so you can't leave that out. But so you know, there's in the conversation about great sequels, you got like Aliens and Godfather Part Two, usually, and Empire Strikes Back. Terminator 2, The Dark Knight, Short Circuit 2 needs to be in that fucking thing. I mean,
that's like a great sequel. Yikes.
The reason it's not in that conversation is because it's so much better than the original.
See, that's the thing. I've watched them both. I don't know that it's that much better. That's what I'm saying. Like the first one is really good, dude. I gotta say.
It's a little slow at times though.
Well, cause Short Circuit 2 has everything, and he's in the fucking city. They got the little fucking toys. They got the fucking Oscar and the bank robbers. Now with this movie though, what I would like to do is write
Los Locos kick your ass.
It has Los Locos, right? And then it has him with the Mohawk and punked out Johnny Five, and he's bleeding he's bleeding battery acid. It's just too much, dude. Right? It's great.
It's too much.
Number 25.
Yeah, and it's because of that film that since high school I've been telling people if I was gonna ever get a tattoo, because I have zero tattoos, it would be Johnny Five hanging on a cross. So
yeah, you should get that
with his little tracks.
Patreon will pay for it, Rhett.
Well, if they do that, I'll actually get it. But that's a lot.
Done. Done.
Okay, well, where am I getting it?
Wherever you
get it
want.
Get it on your leg. Who cares?
It's done.
Okay,
it's
here's
done.
The question. Should it be punked out, Johnny Five, with the Mohawk?
It doesn't matter. Whatever you want, it's done.
It does matter. This matters a great deal.
It matters to you. I don't care. It's done.
Okay. Yeah,
just get Johnny Five on a cross.
I want to write an academic Marxist anti-capitalist paper about Short Circuit 2.
Cool. Like, do that after you get the tattoo.
I don't give a fuck. Just get the goddamn tattoo and then you can have it forever.
Okay. I also watched, I had never seen.
He's going to do it, dude. I bet he'll do it.
I will do it. Yes, I will.
He won't deadlift and he won't watch Prayer of the Roller Boys. Those are the three things Rhett won't do.
Nah, he'll do it. He'll do it. I trust him. He'll do it.
Do anything. Okay. So, we watched Belladonna of Sadness, but you have to listen to the Patreon episode about that. So that's a Patreon episode. Mm-hmm. Amelie, have you guys ever seen that movie?
Yep.
Yeah, I had an ex-girlfriend who was a little bit nutty for that movie.
Okay, well, this is one of Sophia's favorite movies, and
it's a fan favorite of Manic Pixies Everywhere.
Then, like, towards the female persuasion.
Absolutely. Jean-Pierre Jeunet. He did the guy who directed this. You guys know he did Alien Resurrection, by the way?
I do know that.
He did Delicatessen, then City of Lost Children.
Delicatessen, really?
Yeah. No, and this movie. Have you seen this movie, Matt?
Amelie?
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen it several times.
It's actually pretty, like, it was really fucking good. So I was glad I watched it.
Really and, fucking good. You'd
never seen it?
I had never seen it. Because I had a certain members of the female genus try to get me to watch it, and I'd be like, oh yeah, let's watch this instead. So finally though, I
imagine that.
But it was really good. It was really good. And then we watched Stop Making Sense, which is the 1984 Talking Heads concert film. It's my vote for the best.
Did you say genus when you were talking about women?
Hell yeah.
I don't think that's right.
I don't think it's right either, but it's okay. Okay. So, Stop Making Sense is what does genus mean?
Yeah, I think it's just a classification of species, but it's not.
Oh yeah. Well, the female of the species is more deadly
than the male. That is true. The female of the species is more deadly than the male.
Oh, you know what 90s song I heard the other day? Detachable penis. Do you remember that?
That's a good one, man.
I love my detachable penis. That's a fucking
I take great it wherever song. I go, but sometimes it gets a little bit dirty.
Yeah, do you remember that song, Matt?
I do not.
What?
You know what I do remember?
Huh.
Is Prayer of the Roller Boys and how I let you borrow that DVD months ago.
DVD!
You still have yet to watch it.
He still has yeet to watch it.
I will get to that. We watched Stop Rhett, Making Sense, which is Rhett fucking clearly,
what? Clearly does not care about the desires of Patreon.
That's not
they,
true.
They want you to watch it, Red.
Hey, wait a minute.
That's not true. Yeah. He was the one who was like hammering down on us for Belladonna. So
it is true.
Rhett was?
That's right. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm the one that watched Belladonna like 2-3 weeks ago.
And the host. And the yep. host. The hostess with the mostest.
The host, the hunt. The
who most. I do not care about the
Holy Trinity.
The thing of is Brian Asman. That's who I don't care about. Okay. So get it straight. So just kidding, Brian. And also, Brian and I agree more often than not about a lot of movies.
You know who I don't care about? Brian.
Okay. Well, I thought that might be a good hit right there. You know, but so Stop Making Sense is a concert film, a Talking Heads concert film of 1984. If you've seen it, then you know it's fucking great. If you haven't and you like them at all, like, it's my favorite concert movie ever made. Jonathan Demme directed it, who later did Silence of the Lambs. You've seen that, right, George?
What?
Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I just watched it like a couple weeks ago after, what's his name? He was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, good. David Byrne. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That guy's a fucking genius, dude. And he's totally full blown, just uncut, pure autism. Like, just such power in his eyes, you know?
Just in his eyes.
Like, if they didn't stop him, he'd probably start swallowing stuff. You know what I mean? He's that autistic. But have you seen it, Matt? You probably haven't seen it. They call that pica, by the way. So, not swallowing these. He wouldn't start swallowing dicks either.
He'd be swallowing glass.
I assume you meant like nickels.
That exactly. And like fucking like bouncy balls and shit like that. Rubber bands.
I'd knock the nickels out of that pussy.
If it were the 90s, he'd have a fucking stomach full of pogs and like a slammer in there.
And a pocket full of kryptonite. That's a spin doctor's joke for all of you people under 30.
Not too long ago, George said Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was quote unquote not great or not good or something like that. And
yeah, I think that's right.
I think that's fucking wrong. I watched that, and you know what though? I gotta concede. I've grown up with this movie. I am incapable of seeing this movie objectively. So you may be onto something there. But Keanu Reeves and Bill Winters are fucking delightful. Okay, so
well, I never said they weren't. I just don't think it's. Well,
it's not like, dude, where's my car? Okay, like that shit is retarded. That's dumb as fuck.
Hey, that's a cinematic masterpiece.
Oh my god.
All right.
Okay. And then I watched not a shitload. We watched like 3 Dave Chappelle specials, and I got to be careful with that because, dude, he's so fucking.
You're gonna start dropping N bombs everywhere.
Well, dude, because he wouldn't mind, right? He'd be like, yeah, who cares?
I don't think he would.
Dude, he called me and told me he wouldn't mind, and then
he's like, yo, you got boulders for shoulders, dog. Say whatever the fuck you want.
And then here and there, I wanted to mention I've been showing Sophia.
I gotta think he wouldn't mind. Wow.
Well, he'd like that joke, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. But then Black Mirror and Rick and Morty. You guys don't give a fuck about Rick and Morty, but there was a time that like near the end of the teens there, that decade that just ended, where Black Mirror and Rick and Morty were my favorite things to watch that were streaming and stuff. And
there was a time
when I was so brokenhearted.
Yeah,
love wasn't much of a friend of mine. The tables have turned.
Hell yeah.
And something you didn't rhyme. Go ahead.
You both don't know the line.
What is the line?
Well, you're fucking the Aerosmith dude. That's right.
Hell yeah, that's right.
That's right.
You know what? I've also been watching Dark Side of the Ring. I know I mentioned that a lot, but it's wrestling and it's fucking great. So if you like true crime, if you want really compelling true life stories, watch Behind the Ring because it's
cool. All right,
what about cool. you, George? What have you watched? I know you told me you started watching something stupid as fuck.
I already talked about it. I'm free. Wait,
no, George is watching Survivor now.
What the fuck?
He's watching Survivor in addition to Walking Dead.
That's what this motherfucker. So he listens to fucking Jack Johnson. He mm-hmm. watches Survivor and fucking Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Actually,
are we good? Like
we're good. Yeah, we're good. Yes.
Oh, you mean you and Matt, but not me? Is that what you mean by that? You're excluding me?
That's what I mean.
Because I'm autistic.
Yep.
Hey, shit. I mean, like, where you at? Come through.
Yeah. Or hey, where you at? Come through.
But no, nothing new. I just more of the same movies
more,
for me.
More Survivor.
Hold the fuck on. You mentioned via text you watched that Mortal Kombat fucking animated movie.
That's real good, dude.
Would you guys like want to do that as an episode if we fucking get up a creek with episodes or no?
I thought we were going to. But
I don't know that it's. I don't know that there's enough to talk about.
Okay,
if I'm being honest, but I would not mind doing a double feature with another movie so that we don't run out of content for an episode.
10-4. Gotcha.
You got me,
but you said it was pretty fucking
good.
The
measurements
of
your D, right?
Yeah, it's it's real good. It's real bloody. It's the fight scenes are hella tight. It's a retelling of the beginning of the Mortal Kombat tournament.
And
Scorpion's origin story, and it's hella tight. Yeah,
awesome.
So there we go. Episode done on that.
That's right. And I do want to do a PSA real quick because we had the rats. Yeah, we had the rats. We had the some other shit happen with this thing. So I just want everyone to know. Yeah, the murder fucking hornets. So the next something
they're
I read
fucking,
this week.
They're murder fucking hornets?
They're fucking murder. They're murder fucking hornets. Yes. Apparently, so this very resilient viral strain that it lives on surfaces and it's probably airborne and it's in droplets and all these good things and it's aerosolized. Well, apparently they found it in semen. So you need to know.
So we should stop eating our own jizz?
Basically, you need to know that the D is capable of transmitting. And what do you guys think of that? What do you think of the COVID being transmittable via the D, via the semen? What do you think about coronavirus semen?
Actually, I'm more interested in what you think about it, to be honest with you.
I think you give credit where credit's due. You know what I mean? Because
to what? To the virus?
Absolutely. I mean, it is just
way into the dick.
So resilient. Just so and so so it has such range. You know what I mean? Like it can. Is there something it can't do? You know what I mean? Like. I mean, have there been other flu strains that evolved to the point of, you know, being carried through semen? I didn't know. I didn't know influenza could come through cum.
Come through cum. Yeah.
That's right. So I just thought, you know, that's what I think of it.
You admire corona.
You want me to speak like the robot and Alien, where I admire its willingness to survive. You know, I admire its design. Is that what you want me to do? You want me to be like all cold and analytical about the virus?
I don't want you to do anything but what you want to do, baby boy.
T-Rett, and I feel like, you know, if we, you know, are already going to get corona, if like we already have coronavirus, it shouldn't stop us from eating our own jizz, dude. Like if we're just already doing it, like we're already sick. So we're not going to get more sick.
Well, it's basically the same. It's like it's better to live on your feet than die on your knees, right? So keep eating your own cum. Just keep eating your own cum.
Yeah.
So if anything, die with your like ankles up over your head and, you know, a broken neck.
If you stop, then the terrorists win.
You know? You don't eat your cum, then the virus has won.
Yeah.
Correct.
And what kind of American do you want to be then? You know, like.
You can say what you want about us, but I'm not going to sit here and let you trash talk the United States of America.
Don't live in fear, dude. It's what we're saying. Don't live in fear.
Yeah, that's right. Eat your own cum,
or keep somebody else, cum. Or somebody else's cum. I mean, whatever. Yeah,
you know what? Get all your friends together and make a cum smoothie, and just share it. Give shots. Yeah. You may not be able to be with your friends right now, but they can be inside you.
Yeah, that's right.
And speaking of inside you, Matt Smith, what's up with the Patreon, my dude?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is full of absolute scumfucks. But you know what? They're some of the most generous scumfucks in the world,
because known to man.
Yeah, they help us continue doing this stupid show. They're total
stupid
sweethearts, all these people, but they're sick, depraved individuals.
In fact, that whole cum eating conversation brought to you by Patreon. That's what I'm gonna say it.
Yeah, that happened on Patreon. Yeah. And it was paid for by Patreon. And you know what? In return, they get bonus content, exclusive episodes. We're sending out bonus merchandise this week. You know, it's hella tight. Yeah. And we got Yeah, we got a cool little community that we built on our Discord. And you know what, man? It's fucking cheaper than therapy. So, you know, come hang out. Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast.
We have been told that, and it's kind of interesting. And I'm very proud of this cum eating community.
Yeah,
as you should be,
eating our own shit every day.
We got three new homies
in like the last 24 hours. That's insane.
That's hella fucking tight. Who are they, Matthew?
Oh, dog! I thought you were gonna handle that.
got him.
I have my email closed. Hold on. Well, I know one of them.
Matt Dent.
Yeah, is Matt Dent. So welcome, Matt Dent. Another one goes by the name Fisto69.
69,
dude.
Oh,
I'm assuming that's not his Christian name.
No.
And then the third one goes by the name of Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
So now, not only is Rhett tying her to a chair and making her watch all of these terrible movies, he's like, now taken over her credit card.
Didn't Sean Penn do that to Madonna?
Taken over her credit card just so she can hear the things that we say about her.
Wow. You went full Monty Burns right there.
That's right. Ahoy, ahoy.
Sure. Well, thank you very much, guys, for joining up. And, you know, feel free to hit up the Discord, because it's fucking hella tight.
Thank you, everyone. For sure.
Cool, man. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about a film. We'll be right back. Hey, Rhett.
Yes?
Guess what, homie?
Okay.
Oh, we're back!
Woo! Hey, Matt.
He just crapped out his own mic.
He clipped himself out of existence. That's great.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, dude.
Guess what?
Saw.
There it goes. Just let it fizzle like that. You know what I mean? Just let it fizzle.
Oh, shit. Well, the Who Goes There podcast. The Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called The Beyond.
The Who Goes There cattle prodcast.
Oh, shit. Directed by Lucio Fulci, written by Dardano Sacchetti. Also, the screenplay was done by Dardano Sacchetti. Starring Catriona McCall, David Warbeck, Cynthia Morial, Antonio Saint Jean, Veronica Laser. Larry Ray, Giovanni De Nava, Al Cliver, Michelle Mirabella, Giampolo Saccarola, Maria Pia Marsala, and Laura DeMarchi. So, The Beyond, 1981's The Beyond.
DeMarchi,
figlio de puttana.
Hey, George.
Hey, Matt.
What did you think of The Beyond?
Okay. This is I hear him
over there fucking giggling already.
Oh boy.
I had to do a check, but I do believe this is my first Fulci film.
Yeah.
With that said, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I knew it. I knew it.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand what the praise that is heaped upon Fulci. I do not understand why we think he's a brilliant filmmaker. Again, I understand that I'm going to get shit on for this because it's a unpopular opinion, but
with horror hounds, it's an unpopular opinion.
This film is The Big Suck. There.
Matt, what did you think of The Beyond?
Hey. Everybody knows what I think of The Beyond. I don't. Really?
No, I really don't. I know you like Fulci.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love The Beyond. Like, I had this movie as a DVD called The Beyond. Alia had this movie as a DVD called Seven Doors of Death.
Yeah.
One of those movies that you get at at Sam Goody, you know, in like their like $7 section.
That's about right.
Fun fact, yeah. under the pseudonym Seven Doors of Death, it's directed by Louis Fuller. So something went janky there. Anyway, go on.
I totally love it. I've gone to midnight screenings of The Beyond. I've gone to see Fabio Frizzi perform the score from The Beyond with the movie playing in the background. I think George didn't want to watch this movie at all because he had a bad taste from Belladonna.
That's not true. I watched this film before Belladonna, you dumb fuck.
And you know, I think he just wants to be angry. He just wants to hate everything. He has so much hate in his heart.
Oh, hey, Rhett, what did you think of this movie?
I don't want Matt to be mad at me, but
Matt, bro.
Do you remember when like Tom Cruise is on the Today Show and talking to Matt Lauer and he's like, Matt, that's me right now. Matt, you're glib, Matt, you're glib. You see, this movie... What the people are comparing Dario Argento to it, like dude, I know that there's gore, I get that there's gore, and he's very fond of people's faces melting off.
Yeah, like, dude, he's so fond of it.
I get that, but even by those standards, some of those props, like these faces, they're not very good fucking
This is 1980 with like, you know, a minuscule budget too.
I get that, dude. It's just, look, man, I'm gonna go right there and I know the stuff that comes out of these people's mouths, dude. Come on, bro. What did he say? You godless warlock.
Like, yeah, hell yeah. That's Italian, dog. You don't know. You don't listen to Dio.
Joe the plumber? Joe, yep. The motherfucking plumber.
Yep.
What? Why is he like this? Like, why
he's
is Joe?
He's a plumber. Maybe he didn't do well in school. Maybe he had test anxiety. What do you mean? Why is he a fucking plumber?
No, plumbers make a lot of money. A
shitload of money. You're now a plumber. That's a good profession. Why is this plumber such a moron? Why does he say...
You know, it's like in that movie we watched, The Church. It's like he's down in this basement and he's like just doing his job. And then it's like, whoa, this is an interesting phenomenon I've never seen before. What is going on here? And then suddenly it's like, holy fuck, there's a fucking demon warlock.
It goes like this. This is an interesting phenomenon. I should hammer at this wall with a spike. That's what'll fix it.
That'll learn it good.
That'll learn this wall from being a retard and leaking all over the place.
Well, also, there's a part in this movie where they've got a cadaver that's been all fucking eroded and it's gotten acid or whatever the fuck, lime or some shit all over it. And they've got it hooked up to a fucking thing to monitor its heart rate.
No. They said brainwaves, but then it actually measures a heart rate, which is the dumbest fucking thing.
That's not even for measuring brainwaves. It's for measuring radio frequencies.
It's retarded, dude. It's pants on head. Fucked. That's bad. And the other thing too is there's like Matthew, I understand that this is 1980 on a shoestring budget, and
her eyes are spooky
and los amarillos ojos and all that shit. Like I get it. They spent 99% of their budget on contacts probably. But dude, the things that make sense only make sense because nobody is a believable character in any of this fucking thing.
Well, see, but that's the thing is none of it's actually supposed to make sense. It's not supposed to be like a linear narrative. It's supposed to be like nightmarish because you're supposed to wonder if any of this is actually real. Like if this is just like, you know.
So you're saying this is Mulholland Drive, basically. This is David Lynch.
You know, this is what Lynch aspired to be. Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
You know, because that's like the whole thing from the beginning is that homeboy is like right away they're subverting your expectations. It's like, okay, well, what is this this warlock guy doing? And then they kill him, but then they're actually helping complete the ritual. So then, like, you know, the fucking one of the doors opens, and like I don't know why it stays dormant for fucking ever. But you know, it does. And that's just the thing that it does.
Because he needed a scene where we had this, you know, Frankenstein-esque mob come across the water and then also in cars. So why didn't they all just drive or come across the boat? Because
cars weren't that prevalent back then. They didn't have as many.
Dude, they could have done it much faster if they all just like got in the car and went back and forth three times, and instead of taking the fucking boat and timing it properly so they all got there at the same time. No,
they're in cars and a boat, dude. That's
tight. Do you know how readily available gas was back then?
So basically they had to be like, all right, let's get in the boats and in about, dude, like 27 minutes, start driving down the road so we get there at the same time. Light your torches though. Make sure you do that while you're in the car, because you gotta have your torch.
The dude is inspecting the nails, like she's like, oh, I saw it right there. And then like he goes up to these nails in the wall. And she points out again, like, yeah, right there. It's like right here where the nails in the wall are. Okay, that's where you saw someone nailed. And he's like, well, they certainly look old, but this looks more like rust than blood. Like, oh, well, fuck. That's the end of that investigation. Well, yeah.
He knows what he's fucking talking about.
He's a fucking nail inspector.
I think the stuff that more than anything kind of bugs me is that there's no sense of, I don't know, man. There's no sense of place because.
No sense of place?
Because I mean, do you think it's scary, Matt? Do you think it's scary?
I mean, I feel like it's scary in the way The Exorcist is scary. That when you take it when you take into consideration when it was made and like, do I think Exorcist is scary now? No.
Oh, come on, dude.
But like in the 70s, you know, where people were a lot more naive and into religion, you know, then like I think, yeah, the Exorcist was terrifying, but I don't think it hits the same way it did, you know, in what, 74, whatever it was. But so I think this is the same thing. I think when this came out, it probably was really terrifying to a lot of people. And, you know, watching it now, it's like, okay, what did they just put baking soda and vinegar on this guy? And that's why he's dissolving, you know, and the 4K remasters probably don't do it any favors. But,
I think it's violent. It's not scary. I mean, like, I don't even want to defend I'm not going to defend The Exorcist because The Exorcist. But I mean, The Exorcist, it's the powerlessness. And then there's the guilt and the shame, and she's fucking pissing herself and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, it's like, this is just like, you know, you got a prop with the eye getting fucking picked out.
Yeah, I think that's also another thing where I kind of don't understand. Like, I feel like what they were doing was like, okay, we've got these like five or six really, you know, really cool effects that we've figured out how to do. We've got this face melting thing. We've got this eye gouging thing. We've got this other thing. But like, what's the movie? Well, I don't know, dude. Just fucking scream a little bit.
I mean,
a thing of acid's gonna drop on your head in the autopsy room for some reason. I don't know. You screamed off. You're gonna scream and look off into the corner of the room. We're not gonna see what it is. So we're supposed to be like, oh, dude, it's some scary shit over there, dude. My imagination can only conjure up so much. I can't believe it, dude. I just don't like. I don't know, man. Am I fucked?
You are.
Is this the thing where the horror fans finally crucify me for not liking a thing? Because I don't get it.
Dude, you're not the only guy who doesn't like Fulci.
That's your bit now.
But it's not a bit. I'm not doing a bit, man.
Dude, it's
I know you're not doing a bit.
Neither am I. Matt, I gotta dude, I don't I look, dude, look, try not to get revenge on me when we watch another movie I suggested. when it's like an actual movie you liked, but you're like, fuck him, he trashed Fulci, so I gotta trash this. Like, no, fair is fair.
The thing is, if you don't like Fulci, you don't like Fulci. But like, to me, it's
well,
like,
I haven't seen Zombie, you know.
Well, see, like, that's the thing, is when you wanted to do The Beyond, it's like arguably The Beyond is probably his most famous movie, or one of his most famous, but I think Zombie is like the more fun movie.
Yeah, that's the iconic one. I mean, because
there's a fucking zombie shark fight. I mean, that's all. You got me sold on zombie shark fight.
Yeah, I want to see that. But the centerpiece of this movie, absolutely, when you speak of zombie shark fight, is the tarantulas. Okay, so that tarantula. Do you know what I'm talking about, George? The tarantula scene.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, no, because I started thinking, not because it's a similar movie or anything, but I was thinking about Boxer's Omen and stuff like that. And then that movie's fucking bonkers that we did for Patreon a while back, a few months ago. But you know what? That's what I mean. There's some of this imagery. As much as I didn't like the movie, and I don't even think it's a really good movie, I did wake up thinking about certain parts of the movie. Because there were certain things that kind of stuck with me. So I'll give it that. But like the tarantula thing just goes fucking on and on and on and on. And it is disgusting. But it's also, and I know Jorge's like over there saying it in his head right now, it looks like they're chewing on like latex and makeup, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
but I mean, see, that's the thing. I'm willing to get past the goofiness of the effects, because I do think that what
no, me too
you know they're basically playing with, you know, silly putty and fucking.
I think that's its best attribute in this movie, though.
So I like that effects. Part. Those things I'm fine with. Like as a special effects reel, like if that's what this movie is, then you've done well.
Well, and essentially that's what this movie is. It's really just like, you know, a bunch of extreme gore scenes with a couple of loose narrative bridges in the middle, but
like,
you know,
it's like porn, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, you got to have a little bit of foreplay and then you get to fuck. And like, this movie fucks by gouging your eyes out, you know, or like, letting spiders eat on you.
Well, see, that's what I mean. So as far as I can tell, Fulci is famous because he's willing to go there with the gore and that stuff, especially for the time period. And I get that. That's what I mean, though. That's why it does suffer to me, because the best thing about the film is its gore sequences, and I'm and a lot of them, some of them, the eye ones were pretty damn good, you know?
He's a big fan of eyes for sure. There's another eye scene in Zombie that is arguably much better.
Matt, before I feel like a cock ripping into it.
I mean,
before I go any further, does the story make sense to you? Like, No, I'm not trying to take the piss, dude. Like, seriously, like, can you follow what's going on without being mind flooded?
Yes. Watching it once, it's kind of hard, because like the story does kind of jump around, and there are kind of bits where it's just like, you know, holding off until you get to the gore. But mostly, yeah, like the like I said, they have that warlock who's doing a ritual, and they kill him and they complete the ritual, so the place is haunted. But then they board him up and they mark his tomb with a signal.
Back up. Okay. So let me, okay. Then as you're explaining it, I'm going to ask questions. Mm-hmm. So he's doing a ritual to open up the gate, right?
Right.
So then how would he have completed it? Without,
because the ritual needed a sacrifice to be completed, so he didn't have a sacrifice. So he was just doing
the ritual to practice.
Either that, or just because some people want to watch the world burn, or maybe, you know, like, I'm not super familiar with the Book of Ibon. A lot of the story is based around, you know, stuff from the Book of Ibon, where, you know, that's from like the 20s or the 30s, and it was referenced in like a bunch of Lovecraft stuff. So he's trying to complete one of the rituals in there. Now, I don't know if he's supposed to get eternal life, or if he's supposed to, you know, just gain favor with whatever these creatures are or whatever, but he's trying to open the gate to hell for whatever reason.
Okay.
He finishes and they seal him up in that wall and they put like a what is supposed to be like a binding rune on his tomb.
Okay.
The rune is actually nothing. It's just a tattoo that Fulci's daughter decided to get. And so he put it in the movie. Later, this woman inherits the hotel.
Yeah. I've got that part. So I guess the things that kind of fuck with me a little bit are what are the people with the white eyes supposed to represent? People that have seen the
so
demon?
Basically, so the best way I can compare it is, you know how in like a lot of like Lovecraft stuff, when people see the horror, they go mad, and there's nothing you can do other than go mad. That's like the only thing you can do after you've seen this thing. Well, Fulci basically has it where rather than going mad, you just go blind. So that allows his characters to still, like, you know, interact in the world, but without being too over the top, I guess.
Okay.
It further does his what seems to be one of his favorite visual motifs.
He loves eyes. He's got a big thing with eyes.
Well, and he knows that film is, you know, it's about what you see. So he's like, you know, so it's about, I'm going to gouge your fucking eyes.
You want to gouge these shits?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to fill you up.
So the white eyes represent, you know, being touched by the demon or whatever the fuck.
Yep.
So the whole goal is to bring zombies?
No. So the zombies, he didn't want to have the zombies in there, but the film Zombie was successful. And so the production company wanted him to have some kind of like zombie plague in there. And so the zombies, they're not really crucial to the story at all. You know, they kind of just show up and they're not even really a main threat.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of there.
That's so right.
The zombies are essentially nothing.
And that's, I guess, a more troubling aspect to me, because if the zombies weren't there or weren't meant to be there and to be very impactful, well, brother, I got to tell you something. That's 30 minutes of your movie. And like, yeah. I don't know. I guess Matt's
like, what's your point? It's full.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you know, is like, they're, you know, it's kind of just like how you don't really have the soft spot for 80s movies that Chris has. Like, this movie, it's comforting to a certain subgenre of horror fans. And I happen to be one of them, you know, where it's like the acting is not great. You know, it's like hyper violent, but like, you know, on a low budget. So it really had to show some creativity in the story. Like, if you get a story that's like coherent, you know, like you're happy, but ultimately, you know, it's just kind of the ride. And I can definitely see how the Beyond can be a slog at times.
It's beyond me.
Yeah. The story, like, the story is basically nothing of importance, you know, like, it's just kind of like, how much do you like blood and guts?
That's it.
I don't like this. I don't know, man.
No, sir. I don't like it. He turned into a horse from fucking Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, he Mr. Horse did.
I can't even really be like mad at it, because it's clearly not in my wheelhouse. Like, I'm not saying that this shit is necessarily awful. I just don't think, like, it's not. This is like the anti-horror, the anti-Jorge movie, like 100%. I don't get it. And maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I need to break up with Fulci and let him down.
Was there anything about this that you actually did like?
I liked the effects for what they were. I really did. Like, I thought, you know, what, 1980, the dude is, you know, going to the dollar store and creating effects that are convincing-ish. You know, those
before high def, you got to imagine they would have been those, so much more convincing.
Those like chain slaps and the, you know, exposing the muscles. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty good. That dog scene was, boy, oh boy.
So that dog scene was actually paying homage to Suspiria, but just more gory and violent. It actually was like a recreation of that scene. And there's like a couple other movies that are referenced in there, like Inferno is referenced in there, and
the way that dog scene plays out is kind of wacky, dude. I don't understand what the intent is. Are we supposed to, like, the dog is fighting the demon and then it like stops and then it's possessed by the demon? And
the dog, like, was just like, yo, fuck you, lady.
What was she talking about not wanting to go back? Like, any of that stuff I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't know where she wants to go, but I'm assuming that since she, you know, is blind and she's been touched already, you know, that like she may have gone to hell and she got out somehow, because she seems to be like the knowledgeable one about everything.
So like, if this is like a band, is, you mentioned Dio earlier, is this like Dio? Is that what this is? Is this,
I like, mean, with is, like, the
is
Italian,
this like Holy Diver, but Italian? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, pretty well, Dio is Italian and he puts a lot of Italian, you know, ritualistic stuff and beliefs in there. It's funny because my Irish grandma looks like David Bowie and my Italian grandma reminds me a lot of Ronnie James Dio.
Matt, do you feel like this is Fulci's best work?
No.
I'll give Fulci another fucking shake. What should I watch that
Zombie, by all accounts, right, Matt? Zombie.
I mean probably Zombie. If there is going to be a make or break, I feel like Zombie is the most palatable.
I don't necessarily need palatable. I'm okay with being, you know, like assaulted by a movie, but
I don't even mean that. I just mean easier to watch, you know, to somebody who's not really into it. Because this one, you kind of have to like really love the, you know, the guts and the gore and stuff, because that's really what you're getting with this movie, you know. But like Zombie, like, I mean, there's a fucking zombie shark fight, so it clearly doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
You still get like, you know, that Fulci signature gore and eyeball stuff, but at least there's like a more coherent narrative.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's got to be a plus for you, right?
Not necessarily. How's that movie? I guess my trouble isn't so much that narratively it's kind of a mess. I think that there's these set pieces that just sort of appear, and I don't know how we get there, because like you get to this room that's like a nothing room, and then it's a fucking autopsy room. For some reason they have the bodies displayed in sort of this ritualistic manner, which is kind of weird. And then that ending, what, like, did they stare into the eyes of the Lord and he gave them peace, or what, man?
Yeah, I wish I could answer those questions for you, man, but I feel like that's kind of something you have to find out on your own.
Are they at the beyond at that point? Is that what the title is referencing?
I mean, it's like you're kind of meant to wonder, like, if any of this is real, you know, like if you're actually going crazy, if like this is in fact like Lovecraft, where, you know, it's not just the going blind that once you've seen it, like you as the viewer have seen it, and maybe you are going crazy as well. You know, maybe you're imagining all this stuff. Maybe that's why it doesn't make sense. And Fulci has come out and said that he didn't, you know, really want it to make sense from a narrative perspective, that he wanted it to kind of be disjointed and all over the place. He kind of wanted it to feel nightmarish and disorienting.
Yeah.
And I mean, it worked to an extent, but you know, like he also forgot to kind of like solidify his plot, or at least like,
well, look, sorry, I've been fucking just listening to you two here. Like, I'm all for the like for the nightmare logic thing, like for it not making sense per se, if your atmosphere can keep me, you know, I just didn't feel any, to me, any sense of dread that maybe other people get, like, I just, I,
when the gore wasn't going on, there was nothing to keep me engaged in the film.
What did you think about the score, Rhett? Because I figured you would like really pick out the score.
And you're right, but not in the way I that's what I mean. I'm trying to refrain from talking about the score to me. Like I was looking up this guy. I did not like that. I thought the score was like, really? I thought it was extremely invasive. Like they're walking through the house.
Invasive?
Yeah, they're walking to a house and it's got a fucking plodding piano theme that's like
so it was like disorienting.
Well, no, it's not like Goblin score for fucking Suspiria or something. It's not like fucking The Exorcist score. Like
that's the funny thing is that as Fabio Frizzi is kind of held on the same level, you know, score wise as Goblin is.
Yeah, well, I don't agree. Just don't agree. And and you know, Fabio, he's great. He's great as the drummer in The Strokes. You know, like I just don't think he's doing his best work on that piano. You know, I think once he got with The Strokes and he started drumming with him with the afro, the little like his zany hair.
That's when he really broke out.
That's when Fabio really came into his own as an artist.
His zany hair.
No, but again, dude, this may be a case. When did you first see Fulci, Matt?
Fuck.
I mean,
probably like 2000.
Okay, so you
I was probably like 18 when I saw it.
Okay, so you're near the end of high school. You're doing your deep dive on horror history and getting familiar with the Italian greats and all that. See, like,
well, I mean, I'm just now
doing any of that, you know. So
yeah, I didn't really even see The Exorcist until I was 18 either. So like, you know, I had done like my basic stuff, you know, up until that point, and it wasn't until like I turned 18 that I started going like more outside the conventional American horror viewings.
Yeah, maybe it's a matter of there's a context to this that I'm not familiar with, you know.
Yeah,
that might be that
I think that's I think that's got to be a lot of it too. Like there's something I'm missing in terms of context that I just don't, you know, it doesn't resonate with me. And it you know, I would love to give it another shot to make it make sense to me, but I don't know, man.
Well, I'd do another Fulci movie, but yeah,
yeah, you guys should definitely watch Zombie.
Zombie?
Zombie.
Zombie. Yeah. And then, well, I'm looking at this list here. What's House City of the Living Dead?
It's it's amazing, but would you think it's amazing? That's the thing. Like, City of the Living Dead is the first movie in his Gates of Hell trilogy. So The Beyond is actually the second film in the trilogy. And then the third is fucking escaping me right now. I was just talking about it earlier, but I can't remember what it is. It's House by the Cemetery. Mm. So, I mean, I think they're all great.
Ooh, the New York Ripper.
New York Ripper is incredible. It's one of my favorite Fulci movies. And they actually just released a 3-disc collector's edition of New York Ripper on Arrow Video recently.
This is one of the Patreon guys, Coop. He's real into Fulci, right?
No, I think he said he just watched his first Fulci movie.
Okay, so he's doing a deep dive. He's in the middle of getting familiar.
I feel like this is gonna lose us some fucking Patreon support.
No way.
No, man. They know.
Moonboy watched it for the first time too. Like, you know, I think he was kind of favorable.
I think, Jorge, Matt's on here. Matt, you know, he's representing the Fulci people. Come on, and all that.
All right, fellas. Well,
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. This is my first Fulci movie.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. That's kind of where I'm at. Maybe I need to go deeper.
We need to go deeper.
We can definitely do that.
We need to let the crowd convince us that we're missing something here.
That's it.
We just didn't get it. I just didn't get it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hey boys, what are we doing next?
I believe we're doing Mutant Blast.
That's right.
Hella tight. I'm excited for that.
Are we going to be able to get the guest?
I texted him today and everything is still good. He did attempt to murder 3 people over the weekend, so we'll see.
Oh, that might throw a wrench in our podcast plan.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Mutant Blast, for those who don't know, Matt saw it at Telluride months ago in October of 2018, and it's a trauma film, and it looks like a lot of fun. And it,
yeah. That's, the last right now, film- it's only available on trauma.com, so you should definitely watch it. It's only $5 a month. Hella worth it.
The last trauma film we watched was, what, Father's Day?
Yeah.
I think so.
That was Bloodsucking
Freaks and Father's Day. Father's Day I liked a lot.
Yeah, I think Bloodsucking Freaks is more recent.
All right. More recent episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, but I also think Bloodsucking Freaks was also just distributed by Trauma. Well, so is Mutant Blast.
Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 261. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us today. We always say at the end of the show, Matt Smith, what's the links, homie?
We don't always say that.
I know. But, I threw that in there.
Los links.
Yeah, you can go to facebook.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. You can find us on Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, at Who Goes There podcast, Twitter, and Letterboxd at Who Goes There pod. And you can also find the show on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, all that fun stuff, wherever you find your favorite podcast. And don't forget to go to patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast and join this fucking amazing little supportive community we have.
Yep.
One yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time, dummies. I hate all of your guts equally. Well, some of you more, but you know.
Later. Yeah, like that Brian Assman guy.
Hey, like Brian, come on.
I'm even deleting that from the episode.
Don't delete. I'm not speaking for you.
He's going to leave it in there. Just so Brian will text me and be like, yo, what the fuck? And I'll have to be like, bro, he just did that to get a rise out of you.
That's right.
All right, guys. See you later.
Bye.
And stop recording. Stop recording. Stop recording.
Oh,
stop
wait,
recording.
Hold on.
Wait.
I gotta tell Craig to stop. Stop.
Okay, I stopped.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.